Welcome to Awake to Oneness Radio. I am Caroline Chang, your host. The mission of Awake to Oneness Radio is to inspire the world to awaken to the universal truth of oneness. Science is now teaching us that all life is interconnected and interdependent, that we're all one. And ancient wisdom and spirituality has been teaching the truth of oneness for eons. So science is just now catching up. So basically, literally what that means is what you do to another person, you're literally doing to another aspect of yourself. And when mankind awakens to the universal truth of oneness, there will be peace on earth. Today's show topic is the wholeness of life with Bert Harding. Bert, thank you so much for being my guest on Awake to Oneness Radio.
Oh, most welcome. I've been looking forward to this.
Wonderful. And I've been looking forward to having you. So, Bert, can you please, I know you have a YouTube channel and you are doing some amazing work. Can you please share with our listeners your journey, what brought you to this awareness and the work that you're doing now? Kind of take us back. Take us on your journey.
Share. Okay. Can I make it brief?
Yeah, sure, as brief as you like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my background was in physical education. And I was a physiotherapist at the time. But I wasn't very happy working in a very exclusive club, because most of the time the boss was very concerned about the members rejoining annually. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, I loved my work, what I was doing, but I was more doing what my boss wanted to do, to promote the work so that the people keep rejoining every year. Yeah. One day I was very unhappy about all this. And I was wondering, what am I going to do with my life now? I'm not getting any younger. But as I was on my way to work, going down the steps in my own apartment, I was met by a vision. And it was a beautiful old face I've never seen before. And he looked into my eyes. He didn't speak to me, but I felt it right inside me. Mm-hmm. And he said, "Your life from now is going to be different."
Wow.
And he told me how that the truth itself is here now. It's completely now.
Yes.
And then he disappeared.
Mm.
Wow. Well, because at the time I was studying psychology, I thought I was hallucinating.
Yes.
But I was very disoriented by the whole experience, and it stayed with me for a while. Mm-hmm. Six months later, I was walking down Yorkville, and this is in Toronto at the time.
Okay.
And they had a new bookstore. It was the bookseller. So I went downstairs to see the bookseller. And the first thing I saw was the cover, on the cover of a book, the face that appeared to me 6 months earlier.
Wow.
And it was called The Life and Teachings of Bhagavan Ramana Maharshi.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. And I was so overcome, I bought the book. I went home. I was crying because I thought, oh my gosh, this is real. This is real. It isn't just a hallucination I had.
Right.
You're right.
Yes.
And so I read the book. It was a very small book. It's $1.60. But I read it over and over again at night. I didn't sleep all night. I read it twice.
Mm.
By morning, I went back to my boss and I quit. I took an apartment, a very small basement apartment with an Italian family.
Yes.
It was so that I had enough money to just chant, meditate, and go on with my life on a spiritual sense.
Wow.
Yeah. Then 6 months, 6 months later, again, I was doing yoga outside my apartment. And I was spotted by a man who happened to be a YMCA scout.
Mm.
And he said that people are getting interested in this thing called yoga, but they weren't familiar at the time with it. And he said, would you teach it? Mm. And I said, oh, yes, that would be nice, because I haven't been doing, you know, anything for the past 6 months. Mm-hmm. But at the time, I let my beard grow, my hair grow.
Okay.
So he told me to trim and change, and I would be giving classes at the YMCA. So that's how it started. And wow. Then, yeah, in a few months' time, I was giving 13 classes a week in yoga and meditation. And then I had my own CBC, Food for Thought, interview, mm-hmm. which lasted a few minutes. But at the time, that was a time when people did not have computer emails. Right. Okay. So letters were pouring in, asking for more. Okay. And then I was giving a further half-hour interview. And then someone from CFTO TV wanted me to appear on television on a regular basis. So that's how it all started in Toronto.
Wow. So give us a year. You know, when did this start? Like, when did you leave your employment with the...
1973, Bhagavan Ramana Maharshi appeared to me. Seven. It was in 1974 that I started my new life.
Wow. Okay. That was good. And so it was, and when did you start teaching yoga? In 1974, you started teaching the yoga?
But 1975.
Oh, 75. Okay. So that's just giving, yeah, you're right. We didn't have those computers and the email and all of that at that time. You're absolutely right. Well, that is such an amazing and inspiring story. I say it's very inspiring for me because I have been doing Awake to Oneness. I was inspired in the middle of the night to launch my program, Awake to Oneness Radio, because it was oneness. For me, that kind of put all the questions I had in life. I was searching for many, many, many years, and I studied metaphysics and spirituality, but there was still something missing. And it was actually quantum physics, movie, What the Bleep, uh-huh. which was about quantum physics, yeah. And it spoke about quantum entanglement. How everything is interconnected, how everything is just one thing. And that understanding from a heartfelt level, not an intellectual level, but in my heart, understanding that was true. The truth of oneness, what really made everything make yeah. sense to me. So, and that was in 2007 for mm-hmm. me, that awakening. But I had my son transitioned from this life into spirit in 2014. Mm-hmm. And 6 months after that is when I was inspired to launch this show. But I've been doing the show now 3.5 years, but Spirit is telling me right now, this is what I need to do. I need to focus on this and also my book. I've started to write a book.
Oh,
but,
good.
Yes. But the thing is, when Spirit calls you to do these things, you don't know exactly how they're going to come about. So hearing your story, how you got inspired, said goodbye to that job that wasn't fulfilling and wasn't, your spirit wasn't leading you there, and you started going within and just following Spirit's guidance.
Right, so
that's something I have to keep reminding myself every now moment. Yes, yes.
Incidentally, you mentioned 2007 when you started.
Yes.
In 2007, I had a light experience. What I was married at the time, and I was always healthy, you know, keep fit. And for no apparent reason, I developed a fever, a very strong fever. And my wife got very concerned because it was going up to 106 Fahrenheit, you know, the temperature, right. So she said that she wanted to call the hospital, you know. But I said, no, because what happened is that ever since I was a young man, I had poor vision, always very poor, and it got worse as I got older. I had glaucoma. Mm-hmm. But when I had the fever, things became very clear. It's as mm-hmm. if my third eye was opening.
Wow.
And so I wasn't sure, and I didn't feel that doctors would understand what the situation is. But I was getting worse because the fever kept on repeating. And then when it stops, I would go into shaking. Mm-hmm. And then when the shaking stops, I would go into the fever.
Right.
So with this continuing, I didn't eat. I didn't could sleep or anything. So I was losing weight. By the fourth day, I was dying. And so my wife panicked. She called 911. The ambulance came, took me to the Vancouver General Hospital. Mm-hmm. And as I was on the gurney, I had an out-of-body experience, and I experienced light.
Wow.
And when I experienced the light outside the body, I can't put words on it. Even now, yeah. as I experience it, I recall it. Just to compare it, I had a wonderful mother. She was great, loving, warm, and always understanding. And but this light was 1,000 times more loving than my mother.
Yes, it was
so incredible, and things became very clear. And like you were saying so wonderfully, is that everything is one. Everything is interconnected, interdependent, interrelated. And then I understood things that I didn't know before, that most religions are into control, not the truth. The truth is love, just, yeah, perfect love.
Yes.
You know, and that was the answer to everything.
Yes.
And that's what made me go into A Course in Miracles, because yes. I felt that this was an incredible teaching.
Yes. Yes, so true. Yeah. So true. And it's, and I say unconditional love.
Unconditional.
And so sometimes when I'm speaking to people who are more, and I have respect for all religions, all beliefs, because I know that no matter what your religion, your beliefs, your divine aspect of God, just like I am, we're all right. One with God, can never be separated. So I honor everybody for whatever their belief systems, but I meet a lot of what I would call fundamental Christians, and right. And I always ask them, what does unconditional mean in your belief system? And they always give me conditions, because it's like, okay, if you don't do this, you're going to hell. I'm like, okay. Right. I that doesn't sound unconditional, because my God, you know. My God is, first of all, I know that I am an aspect of God and can never be separated. And when you know that, you have no fear. You understand that. I love the quote, and I quote this all the time, Rumi's quote, "You're not a drop in the ocean. You are the ocean in a
That's
drop,"
right.
Meaning you're all of God in a drop. Right. Each of us, we're all of God in a drop, because we're holographic. And when you understand what holographic is, means that all that is, is you. And
that's
you
right.
are all that is. Uh-huh. So it's a wonderful knowing, because when you know it in your heart, you look at a tree, you look at a blade of grass, you look at a butterfly, you know that's you.
That's
everything.
Right.
Everything
that's
is
right.
you,
yeah.
And you are everything.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Two months ago, I was invited to go to China.
Mm.
Yeah, and I had seminars in Beijing and Shanghai.
Yes.
And the people that joined were very interested in A Course in Miracles, and we had about over 200 in every class, in every seminar. But the one thing I'd like to mention is that I left them with, I said, repeat every day, I am light, I am love, because the word I am brings you to the core and essence of who you are. Well, they repeated this over and over, and it turned into a song. So if people would see my videos,
yes,
the videos on in China, they start with this song.
Oh, beautiful.
You know, but it's so beautiful. I am light, I am love, I am joy, I am peace.
Yes.
Et cetera. And that made such an incredible change and people realizing who they really are.
Yes. Yeah. That is so true. That's so, and yeah. I am are such powerful words. And sometimes unwillingly and unknowingly, people use those powerful words to say something not desirable about themselves. Like, I am ugly, I am fat, you know, all these. You never want to use those. You never want to use the powerful I am with something that you don't want about yourself. Yes. And when you understand everything, and here's another thing I say too, whatever you call yourself, you're calling God, because you are an aspect of God.
There's a statement in the Bible that says, do not take the name of the Lord in vain.
Right.
So if you say, I am not worthy, then you're taking the name of the Lord in vain, because the I am is I am that I am.
Yeah. Exactly. Yes. Yeah. I am that I am. Exactly. Exactly. Very deep. So it's just awakening from this dream of our own creation. So that's the other thing, that owning it, that everything we're experiencing, and it is just that, an experience of our own creation, because it's happening from us and through us, not to us.
Right.
So yes. But you share. So we're going to go back to 75. You started teaching yoga and at the Y. And so how did everything evolve from there?
Okay. When I started teaching yoga, I didn't know what to call it. So I called it Harding Yoga, because I am Bert Harding.
Okay.
So I had t-shirts down with Bert Harding, it started out from the YMCA, but we started spreading out into churches, libraries, getting places to teach yoga. But the people, young and old, found it very helpful doing the asanas. And initially, all I started doing was just body movements, stretching, exercises, breathing, paying special attention to breathing, because I became aware that the breath, the complete breath, is itself part of the spirit of us. So when we breathe, it is the spirit breathing the body. You see, it's not right.
Yes.
Right. So therefore, I started also asking people to sit and let's talk about this. You are the breath, you are this incredible energy. And so the meditation started with the yoga.
Mm-hmm.
The results were great. The popularity started growing more and more and more. And the reason it took off is because one time I had a man from CBC. They had a program called Food for Thought.
Mm-hmm.
And he came and taped our show.
Amazing.
And so it took off. Also, at the time, there was a newspaper in Toronto where this was taking place. It was called The Times.
Okay.
It went belly up, you know, eventually. Mm-hmm. But it was very, very popular, and so many people had seen it. And on the front pages, there were pictures of myself teaching these yoga exercises.
Yeah,
but it was a very unique way, because most people were not aware of it at the time.
Yes.
So, and it took off. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And then I had appeared on television. So, and that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, awesome. Yeah. Very good. So now I know you have a very popular, wonderful YouTube channel, and you're teaching these fundamental principles that we've been talking about.
Right.
So share more about that.
Yeah. One of the things I like to teach is this called the I Am. This came to me also in meditation, that when I say I am, I'm not talking about Bert. I am talking about who I really am. I am that I am, so to speak.
Yes.
So therefore, that became the theme. One day, I was talking on a video, mm-hmm. and I said, I was referring to a talk that I had before. One time during a talk, one person asked me, they said, Bert, you've been doing this for quite a few years. Mm-hmm. This is going back when I arrived in Vancouver. Okay. this is recent. This is only 2 years ago.
Okay.
Actually, a year and a half ago.
Okay.
And someone had asked me during a satsang session, they said, Bert, you've been doing this for so many years. What have you learned? And I said, very briefly and without explaining it, I said, all I've learned is that I learned to trust I am. And then I left it at that. Mm-hmm. And then I continued on, but not explaining it.
Right.
Well, what happened as a result of saying, all I learned is to trust I am, people wanted to know, well, what do you mean by I am? Do you mean it you? Or mm-hmm. what do you mean by trust? How do you trust? Et cetera, et cetera. So I had about 20 emails. So at that point, I said to myself, what can I do with this except write an article and send it to the people who had asked me these questions?
Right.
And but what happened is that when I went to bed at night thinking about this, something took over. At 3 o'clock in the morning, I got up and I was compelled to write out without even realizing that I was writing this.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote, there are four unknown facts of reality. Mm. And the voice was coming from my own intuitive knowing.
Yes.
But after a while, it was the first experience that I've had that this intuitive knowing almost took a life of its own.
Mm-hmm.
So as I listened to it, I developed a fear. What if this voice stops talking to me now? I don't want to stop. So I made sure that I turn off the phone. I made sure nobody knocks at the door, close the door.
Right.
I didn't shave. I didn't take showers. I didn't even eat or sleep or anything until I finished what I wanted to write. While it was talking to me, I wanted to listen.
Right.
Because, like I repeat, this intuitive voice took a life of its own.
Right.
So, as I kept on going, to make a life story short, the story short.
I got you.
About 7 days went by, and I finished a book called The Four Unknown Facts of Reality. I sent it to a publisher, which was The Garden Publishing, and she loved it, so she made her own chapters of the book.
Mm.
Based on the four unknown facts of reality.
Okay.
The first unknown fact of reality is that life itself is based on unconditional love, infinite intelligence. And but the moment you think you know it, the voice kept saying that, do not call it anything, because the moment you call it love or you call it anything, you create a concept of what you think love is. And the moment you have a concept, you cannot go beyond it, because the moment you hear it, you think you know it.
Yes.
But this knowing of unconditional love has no limit. And so we call it emptiness. So the first unknown fact of reality is emptiness. Emptiness simply means empty of ego, empty of form. See, invisible spirit, etc., etc. So that was the first fact.
Yes.
That is who we are.
Yes.
And then it gave me the second fact. The second mm-hmm. fact is also emptiness. And it said that the greatest fear of humanity is a fear of emptiness. Now you see the paradox. Mm-hmm. Emptiness is love, but emptiness is also fear. So what happens is that when we are suffering, we are really fearing love. I'm not good enough. There's something wrong with me. What can I do?
Yes.
I don't know. I'm missing something. So that is a fear of love.
Mm-hmm.
That is the greatest known fear, because it is also the fear of death.
Yes.
And when I die, I'm going to be no more. I'm going to
not exist. Yes.
Not exist. Right.
Yes. Yes.
So that was the second principle, that the emptiness versus unconditional love. Emptiness number two is the greatest fear of mankind. I feel empty, you see, but they take it on a vacuum.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Number three is that our true nature is unconditional love. And this, you don't get this through different techniques and methods, and although they do work, but it is very, very simple. All you need to do is forgive. Mm-hmm. because forgiveness is the key to unconditional love. And so that is the third point of the unknown fact. Because people think they have to go through a lot of psychology, which I did, a lot of psychoanalysis, but you really don't, because the moment you forgive, you automatically go back to your true nature. And number four is trusting I am. Mm-hmm. And then the I am is who you are, the truth, you see? And so that was the book. And it was finished in about 7-8 days, I'm not sure, because I was locked in my apartment all that time, eating only bananas and drinking water.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And that was, yeah. The book is selling reasonably well, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're inspiring me, because like I said, I have started a book months ago, and I've written about 4 chapters, but I haven't. The last few months I haven't been working on it, and people tell me I should be writing every day, and I really should because
your spirit starts writing through you, you see. Yes. it takes over.
That's
a beautiful thing. Yeah.
Yes and what we actually
don't do anything.
Well, what I hear you saying, I always use the unconditional love, and that is who we are. We are unconditional love at our core. And science says everything is energy vibrating, and that energy is all one thing. And I name that energy unconditional love. That's what I name it. And then when you speak of the fear and love being the same, I think of the yin and yang symbol, where you have the white, yes, and the black, the dark, and the light, all equal, and all one.
Right. Yes, and that's how forgiveness works. Because when you see fear, we fight it, we try to run away from it, we try to control it. But fear is not something bad, it is something that we need to learn. Yes. And then you'll find that fear is a call for love. It's asking for love. Exactly. It's yearning for love, it's seeking love. Exactly. I am lonely, I want somebody to fill my life, to feel loved, right? Exactly. And so the moment you see it as a need for love, the fear becomes love.
Exactly. When you embrace it, because you can't.
When you embrace it.
Yes, because all is one, and you can't push anything away. So, like I said, people try to push away the fear or run away. You can't run away or push it. It's part. They're intertwined. They're one.
Absolutely.
And when you see that and you embrace it, then it transforms. The only way to transform it is with love. You transform everything with love.
With love. Love is everything.
Everything.
And nothing works but love. Yes.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Love is everything. And then I use the term unconditional love, unconditional forgiveness, unconditional non-judgment, unconditional acceptance of another. All these things are and that's who we are at our core. So that's it. And when we understand that, we don't fear, because I always think of everything I attribute to me, I said, is also God. So I am God in this unique form, expressing God. Because God is, using the term God, God is all that is experiencing itself. All that is. So we are all aspects, divine, unique aspects of God, experiencing through God. And then owning what we experience. I find that very key for my peace of mind, that what I'm experiencing, I created. And I created it for my highest good. I may not remember, from my higher self perspective. My higher self knows all, remembers all, knows exactly my purpose and all that. And from my limited human self, which is not separate from higher self, I may not remember, but I know if this is happening, It's happening for my highest good. And I created it. I own it. I know it's happening for my highest good. So I look for the good in what's happening in every now moment.
Beautiful. Yes.
Yeah. And one other thing I would add to your four is all there is now.
All there is now.
Yeah. All there is the now.
So yes. The I am is now, because if we live from the past, that is not I am.
Right.
If we live in the future, it's not this instant, this moment.
Yes.
It's eternal. Yes. Excuse me. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And also this moment, every now moment is your point of power. That's what, so it's not about, like you said, some people go through years and years of psychoanalyzing. Well, what happened when I was a child? What happened in the past life? You know, years and years of psychoanalyzing, which that's not what we call the past is not our point of power. Our point of power is right here and right now. Right. And when we awaken in this now moment, it actually radiates out to the past and what we call future, because it's just the now. And now is affecting what we call past and future.
Right. Yeah. And the reason we suffer so much in this world is because we live in time and space.
Yes.
And the reality of unconditional love is timeless and spaceless. Yes. Yeah.
Very, very, very true. So true.
Yeah.
So now I know you're very active on your YouTube channel. And tell us, do you do speaking events in so people can actually come and meet you and hear you speak and lecture?
Yes, I used to give up satsangs at my own place. Right now, I've been invited. For example, the next one, I'm going to go to Mexico.
Okay.
In Cancun, and give a week's retreat. And then in Victoria, follows in Victoria, which will be next year.
Okay.
March of next year. In Victoria at the Krishnamurti Center.
Okay. Beautiful. Now, explain to our listeners, our viewers, what satsang, and I don't always pronounce it correctly, but explain that to our listeners.
Yeah. Satsang is an Indian word meaning the truth is one, or it's or sitting with a master, so to speak, which is, of course, the oneness itself.
Yes.
Yeah. So satsang is that time spent in truth.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's only one truth.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now that's interesting, because I always say it's not this or that, it's this and that. And in
truth, yes. I like the way you use that.
Yes. It's never this or that, because there is no right or wrong. It just is. It's just the is.
And listen to that. You see, you just said there is no right or wrong.
Right.
This is the hardest thing to believe, but it's true. There is no right and wrong. And when you go into moments of meditation and beyond time and space, you know, you get moments when you realize, yes, everything is for our own good. Everything is towards growth. And God does not judge, it's just love, perfect love.
Exactly. So when I said that, I said it's not this or that, it's this and that, and you said there's one truth, and there is, because there's only one, but all truths are truth. So in because there is no right and wrong, so every person is divine, and they are creating their reality from their belief. Whatever their belief is. So their truth is their truth. They're creating their reality from their truth, and their truth is true for them. So all truths are true, and there is only one truth. So it's not this or that, it's this and that.
Yes. When you make their truth as the only truth, then they separate.
Yes.
And the separation from God is the only, quote, evil there is.
Right. And in truth, and truth, there is no way to actually separate from God.
And there is no possibility of separating.
Separation. But no. We can think, and that is what I call hell.
Thinking, yes.
Thinking yes. that we're separate yes. from God, that's what I call hell.
So right.
We can create that. We're that powerful that we can create the appearance of being separated from God, which feels like hell. Yes.
Yes.
That's how powerful
we create hell because we are creators.
Yes.
But we don't have to. Right.
We don't have to. It's our choice. Yes.
It's our choice. Yes.
And destiny and free will exist like this. Your destiny and free, you have free will in every now moment, and there is destiny as well. So, because again, it's not this or that. So it's not destiny or free will. There, destiny and free will go hand in hand.
Beautiful.
And that's very hard for us because we think so linear. We think everything's straight line. But when we understand it's a multiverse, everything that can happen does happen. And it's what we radiate, it's frequency. So what our core frequency is what we experience. We can experience anything by shifting our frequency.
Yes. Oh, you're so beautiful.
So are you. I have to keep reminding myself. Now I do know that my purpose for being here in this now is to inspire. And I use the word inspire. I don't call myself a teacher or a guru or anything. I say I just want, because truth comes from within. Everybody has, so they have to go with, so I inspire people to go within, tap into what is true in your heart and live that truth to the best of your ability.
That's
so don't go by what I say, go by what your heart is telling you.
Right. And so, that keeps expanding on its own.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. And I believe we all are teachers and we are all students. It's not this or that, it's this and that. We're a teacher and student because we can learn something from everyone. And everyone can teach us. We can learn, we can teach someone and someone can teach us. It's this and that. And we're all teachers, we're all students because we have something unique to share with the world. Each of us.
Each of us, yes.
Unique to share. With the world, yes. Right.
And all we ever want is love.
Yes.
So when we go into, the major thing is how do you feel about yourself is one of the key factors.
Yes.
Yes.
And then ask why, question that feeling. Question, okay, why do I feel this? You know, and I ask people to question their beliefs. Like there are people that I was brought up in, I went to Catholic school. I was born up in the
Christian. So did I.
Yes. 6 years in Catholic school. And so I always go within and say, okay, that's what I was taught in Catholic school, but do I truly believe it in my heart? You know, go within because your heart is intelligent. And your heart will tell you, you know, well, you can feel your way to what's true, what resonates as true for you, and then live that truth. Be bold enough, regardless of what anybody else is saying or doing, be bold enough to live your truth.
Yes.
Now you say, I was just going to ask, when are you going to Cancun? When is that event?
We had a discussion about it just a few weeks ago, and they told me that they only have about 20 people so far, but it's going to be an expensive thing because it's a whole week. That's a resort.
Yes.
It's going to be in Cancun. So it will take place about February.
Okay.
And then in March, I have my own Victoria retreat too. One follows the other. Yeah.
Okay. Now you live in Victoria now, BC?
No. I live in Vancouver, BC.
Okay. Yeah. Because I do have some dear guests of mine that have been on my show that are in Victoria. Brad Johnson and Tina. Louise. Tina Louise. They're both, they have access to the other realm in the sense spiritual. They're channels. They're both channels. And they're both in Victoria. And I actually, and I have a good friend in Victoria. So I really want to get to Victoria at some point. So I'm hoping I'm going to see if I can make it to Victoria in March, because I would love to.
Would be lovely to
that
see.
Would be, yes. I've been, that's, Victoria is one of the places I've been wanting to get to. So I'm hoping to get there very soon.
Yeah, the retreat will be March the 24th, 22 to the 24th, yeah.
Okay.
Three day awesome. Weekend. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. I'll put that on my calendar. And again, I believe everything happens in perfect divine timing. And if it's meant for me to be there, I will. And I'll get to see, like I see it. When I get to BC, there's a lot of people I want to go visit. So I would love to be there. I say BC, but I mean Victoria. Yes. Awesome. Very good. So you were born and raised in Canada?
No. Malta, Europe.
Malta.
Yeah.
Ah, okay. Yeah. I had a dear friend. Now, Malta is that little island, right? That's off of Italy, correct?
Correct. Yes. Correct. Yes. It was a British dominion at the time.
Okay.
Until 1956, I believe. Yeah.
Okay.
And then it gained independence.
I see. Now, the only reason I know of Malta, I met a lovely lady many years ago. I live in the Poconos. I've been here 26 years. And I met a lovely lady from Malta many years ago. And I know that she married an American. And they were living here in the Poconos, but she was never really happy here. So I think, and she's always wanted to go back. So I think she's back in Malta. So,
yeah.
But
Malta is a beautiful place to visit.
It's yes. Very,
yeah.
Yes. So when did you move to BC? I mean, to Canada?
56.
Okay. So, okay.
Yeah, I came in 56. Yeah.
All right. Before I was born.
yes.
Yes, you've been there a long time. Very good. Yes.
Yeah. So Malta is 100% Catholic.
Oh, that's now you say that. She was very Catholic. Matter of fact, interesting enough. Okay. She was the sweetest lady. But very Catholic. Matter of fact, where she lived, there was a Catholic church on the corner, and she would go to church every day. And I started back in, I'm trying to think, the early, mid-90s. And I would speak to her about yoga. And she was like, she said she didn't mind the exercise part of yoga, but the meditating part of yoga, because of her being Catholic, she was very against that. Yeah. And I forgot how I had a conversation with her, but I was going to a yoga class at the time, and I started talking about yoga, and she's like, well, I don't mind the exercise, but the meditation, she was very Catholic. Yes. Yeah. Very Catholic. So I'm not exactly sure how she would like my show. But it's, like I said, I have respect. I have a high respect for everybody's.
But the thing is that your show is all love.
It is. It truly is.
Even the way you speak, the way you are, everything about it. So you cannot say, well, I don't believe in that, because if anybody whose heart is open is. Yes. Yeah.
This is true. Very true. And I do share that, because I have nothing but love for everyone. And it's like, I'm not trying to tell you what to believe or how to believe. I'm just opening my heart and sharing in love my truth. What resonates is true.
Yes.
So tell us more about I know you went into the four
The four unknown facts of reality. They are unknown because the first one is emptiness, and emptiness has no beginning, no end, no borderline, no periphery. So when you go into, you'll find that, yeah, there's no beginning or end. So emptiness, when you really feel it, it's a very good feeling. Some people sometimes go into it. I have a method I use when I give Skype sessions. I use 5 methods. Mm-hmm. These 5 methods are ways of going deep and deep inside you until you empty your mind.
Yes.
When you begin to experience the space between thoughts, and it's not difficult to do with these steps, mm-hmm. You begin to feel that emptiness itself is really joy. It's peace. Mm. It's love.
Yes.
Because it's always there.
Yes.
You see? Because in the Course in Miracles, it says there are 2 minds, the right mind and the wrong mind. The wrong mind doesn't exist. It's based on the past, the ego.
Yes.
And the right mind is God itself, perfect love, unconditional yes. love.
Yes. Yeah.
So that is a very simplified way. The emptiness is when you realize that we live mostly from conditioning. And mm-hmm. conditioning is not love. Conditioning is conditioned love. Mm-hmm. So to speak. So therefore, it doesn't bring happiness. It brings guilt, shame, etc., etc.
Yes. So. Now, and I do agree with you when you said about whenever we label something, when we give it a name, it actually puts a border around
it. It's a border, and you cannot go beyond it because has become a belief, a concept. Yes. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And the point is, yeah, it's gone. Yeah, and truth has no limit. You cannot say, I know the truth. I can feel it, but you cannot ever know it because it's unlimited.
So true. And exactly what you said, whenever we label something, whenever we give it a name, we are limiting it. We're putting a border around it and limiting it. And everybody That's takes right. that same word and has a different perception of that same word. Like everybody right. has a different perception of God. Everybody right. has a different perception of love. You know, That's these right. are all different perceptions. So we're limiting it to our own yeah. perception when we label it. Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Yes.
Right. That's it. Yes. Yeah. And yes. the point is there's no limit to love. And love is the only thing that works. Nothing else works. So if 2 people are arguing, it's because they're trying to control each other. I am right and you are not. But why do you want to be right? Because you want love to be loved.
Yes. You know? Yes.
So it's always, yeah, when we look at things as they actually are,
yes.
that very looking takes you beyond your own beliefs. Then. It yes. keeps on expanding.
Yes,
expanding.
And that opening. And I used to say, we sometimes suffer from I have to be rightist, like I rightist, meaning I have to be, like you said, if 2 people are arguing, it's just because they want to insist that they are right. So that's kind of like an illness. I have to be right.
I have to be right. Yeah.
I have to be right. Itis, I call it.
yeah. Yes.
Yes. And I also say 2 people can't, I mean, 1 person cannot argue by themselves. Meaning, if somebody wants to argue and you don't, you just don't. Eventually, they're like, okay, I'm not getting the reaction I was trying to get out of this person. So it just kind of fizzles, you know? But it just fizzles because 1 person can't argue with themselves. I guess they can.
But if
you don't join in the argument, if you can keep the peace. So by not joining in, you're just like, yeah. Okay, I said, namaste. I bow to the divinity in you. Namaste. You know, yeah. you can put the into it right there.
Yeah. Right. Yes.
And then I say, why is, now we have war in this world. Why? Okay. War has never solved anything ever.
Yeah. This is where it's interesting though, in consciousness growth, because we see that in evolution, we go like in the war years, in the 40s, for example, we lived in a 3rd dimension. Now, mm-hmm. most people still live in a 3rd dimension. But the 4th dimension, we get in touch with the timeless, we get in touch with our feelings. The fifth dimension now, they say we are entering the fifth dimension.
Yes.
And that is the spirit world, the deeper consciousness, the higher consciousness, yeah. The true understanding of unconditional love is the fifth dimension.
Yes, yes. And I do believe that human consciousness as a whole, we are shifting into a higher dimension, and we are waking up. And I do believe there will be a day where everyone is awake to
absolutely
the oneness,
yes,
to the
yes.
oneness, and then there will be peace. It will be heaven on earth when we all know that we are one.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. And I believe that day is coming. Yes, I do. Yes.
Yeah.
And in truth, it's already here, because all there is the now.
That's right. It's already here, because there's no time or space. It's all, And it seems like Jesus said there are many dimensions. There are many mansions to my Father's house, so to speak.
Yes.
And that we are multidimensional beings, you see, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yes, it's true. So now you expanded a little on the point on the first one about the emptiness of love. Now let's expand on the emptiness of fear.
Yes, very good. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Now the emptiness of love, I'll make it very simple.
Yes.
The emptiness of love is like this. A mother is giving birth, and she's going through tremendous pain in bringing this child to life. In the process of birthing. But then when the child is finally delivered, and the doctors, they gave the child to the mother, the moment the mother is holding the child next to her, all sense of pain has gone from out of her body, because she's empty.
Yes.
She's one with the child.
Yes.
So emptiness is pure love.
Yes.
Where there is no ego, there is just the moment.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, when we think of emptiness, the average person is afraid of emptiness, because emptiness gives the feeling I'm missing something.
Okay.
Right. It doesn't mean that, because in emptiness, there's no beginning or end. There's no definition.
Right.
But emptiness itself gives us the idea, when we don't see the whole picture, as if we're missing something.
Right. Yes.
And so we begin to feel we feel empty. And so it also brings the fear of death, which means if I am empty, then I'm going to dissolve and be no more.
Right. Yes.
Which is, of course, impossible.
Exactly.
Because,
eternal.
So that is the greatest human fear.
Yes.
The fear of emptiness. So no matter in what way it affects us, it's always emptiness that we fear.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that before when I studied psychology. But it came to me through that intuitive knowing. Yeah.
Yes. And I also kind of see it as the fear of the separation from the all, or God.
That's it. Yeah.
Yes.
That's how it makes us feel empty. Yeah.
Yes.
So we carry a lot of guilt. The average person carries a lot of guilt and shame.
Mm-hmm.
This type of fear, right? Until we start to look at it. And then when you look at it, you'll come to one realization, that all you ever want is love.
Yes.
And then the very love understanding annihilates the fear.
Yes.
And so fear turns into love. Mm-hmm. All the only thing you ever want is love. It doesn't matter.
Right.
Yeah.
And in truth, we want it, but we are it.
We are it already. So we need awareness that we are love, unconditional love.
Yes, that's who we are. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, very true. Very true. Very true. And now number three
is that the truth of our being is unconditional love.
Mm-hmm.
You see, there's no good or bad. The truth of everyone you see is unconditional love. Like, for example, if a mother shouts at her child and she says, well, what can I do to make him behave? The more I yell, the worse he gets. Mm-hmm. But if we listen to the child, the child is saying, Mommy, why can't you love me as I am instead of the way you want me to be? We want unconditional love, you see?
Yes.
So that is the best way to treat people, by unconditional love.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Very true. And when you do that, you'll see a change in them.
Yes, because you're giving them respect.
Yes. Yes.
And you can't be afraid, oh, they're going to go into drugs or they're going to go into bad company, because you're respecting your children so much.
Yes.
That very respect for truth makes them feel good. Yes. When they are in a company that doesn't feel good, I'm not respecting myself.
Exactly.
So that very idea of respect, brings that knowing.
Exactly. Yeah,
right. Yeah.
Exactly. Very true. Yes. Yeah. Yes. People will change. I mean, people will change like that when you are giving them unconditional love.
Unconditional love. And unconditional love comes directly through forgiveness.
Yes.
But forgiveness is not forgiving something someone did.
Right.
Forgiveness, the Course in Miracles says it beautifully. It says forgiveness is when you realize there's nothing to forgive, because everybody is love. And so when you begin to understand, then the forgiveness itself leads you back into the perfection of that which is.
So true. That is so true.
Yeah.
Yes, in truth, there is nothing to forgive because there's just the one. So there's just the one love.
So when a person is being so-called bad or evil, it is because they've never known how good they really are. So you're brought up in that environment, then you act from the environment you were brought up in, you know, like
you know,
stealing, cheating, whatever.
Yes. Yeah. And when people do that, it's just a cry for love.
It's a cry for love. That's it.
Yes, that's it. Because that's all we truly all want.
And so that's why the third principle is you don't try to change people.
Yes.
You simply love them at where they're at. And through that love itself, they begin to understand.
Yes. Yes. They transform. By you unconditionally loving them, they start to transform. Yes.
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 Because they're finally accepted. They're finally, hey, I'm not so bad after all.
Yes, very true, very true. And number four?
Number four is you learn to trust that there's only God. You don't have to call it God in the beginning. We can call it light. I like the word light.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, the tallness, the wholeness, the wholeness of life, the totality, the everything. So, so to trust that, because that is who you are. When you trust that, that's the trusting of I am.
Yes.
You see?
Yes.
Yeah. And that's all you learn, really. Trust I am.
Mm-hmm.
When I wrote the book, The Four Unknown Facts of Reality, I didn't write it. It's the I am that wrote it through me.
Through you.
So I allowed myself to surrender to that I am.
Yes.
And I believe that maybe 10 days had gone by, which I didn't.
Keep track of time.
But you don't keep track. Time, it becomes irrelevant. Yeah.
Yes. And that's so true. Yes, true. Yes. When I find, and they say, athletes call it when you're in the zone, when you're just following your heart and then it just flows. Time, you lose all track of time. Yeah.
You lose all track of time. Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Very true.
Very good. And that timeless state is who we are.
Unconditional
love.
Exactly. I actually get that every time I do a show. Every time I do a show, I'm just in the zone. I feel a high. It's like I say to people, I've never done drugs, but I never have to do drugs. Just doing my show is a high for me.
I
feel like I'm in the zone when I'm recording a show. So yeah, so I'm in the zone right now. I lose all track of time. Because I love, I started this, one of the reasons I launched the show is I wanted to have conversations with other people who are awakening to truth, to the truth of the one. And for me, my term for God, I use the word God only because other people identify with that word God, but it's God for me is all there is. All there is. There's nothing outside. Nothing exists outside of God.
Nothing.
All there is God. Yes. Yes. Mm. And so I wanted to have these conversations like the one I'm having now. And it wasn't all these people around me in my vicinity of the Poconos, Northeast Pennsylvania, where I could have these conversations. So it's like, okay, I didn't even know what a podcast was at the time. I just called it internet radio. And I discovered podcasting. And I love the fact with the podcast, internet radio, you do a show and it's there forever. Meaning I've done 130 shows now. And wow. Yes. And people can watch any one of them from any place in the world, anytime. So I love that. So it's not like you're missing. Like, and they never get old. They never get old. They're always, always fresh and new.
Always fresh and new, because it's always now.
Yes. And when a person...
And it's one way to keep young, too. Incidentally.
Yes. Oh, actually science has proven that. When you're in what we were talking about, the zone, when you're like an artist is painting, or a musician is playing, are you doing what your heart desires? And time seems like it, like five hours seems like 5 minutes. And they say, actually, you physically don't age when you're in that moment, when you're in that. And I've noticed the people like on my show, like you, they don't age. They look, they tell me their age. I'm like, you don't look that age at all. And people tell me all the time, I don't look my age, which is, this is so true. So
that's true.
Yes, being in the now, you actually, when you focus.
Well, it's been said, I don't remember who said it. It was J.C. Gordon. Experience. He said that when we awaken, even though we could be 70, 80 years of age, but biologically we become younger.
Yes.
Because we feel healthier, more alive, and the body is being fed that love, that moment, that energy. Yeah.
Exactly. That is so, so true. And I believe that. And all of my guests, they look so much younger. When they tell me their age chronologically, I'm like, no. So that, and it's just the awakening.
Yes. It's the awakening. Right.
Truth. Yeah. And we're all grad. And as each of us, as one person awakens, it affects not even all of humanity. It affects the whole entire universe, because we're holographic, meaning just that one little person that awakens, everything else has awakened.
Everything else, yes.
Has awakened.
Yeah.
That one little aspect awakened.
Just like the cells of the body, there are trillions of them, but one cell is a life of its own. And
exactly.
Intelligence and the world of its own,
exactly. And that's what I think of us. I like that you use the word cell, because I like the fact that I think of us as cells of God. We're all a cell, and we're the holographic, multidimensional cell.
Yes, multidimensional cell.
Yes.
It knows what to do. It knows where to go. It's the intelligence of the infinite intelligence of God is there. Yeah.
Yes. And that's why I said too, I encourage people to go within to find that. I mean, there are great books to read. There are great teachers to listen to, but the truth, they can inspire. I say anything in the outer world, because the outer world is just a reflection of the inner, and the outer world can point you to yourself. Because that's where the truth lies, is within. Thank you. This has been so wonderful. Please share with our listeners how they can find you and follow your work.
I've never promoted myself, believe it or not.
I see that. Yes. Yeah, I can't remember even how I found you. I discovered you somehow on YouTube.
What I did, I had the satsangs that I used to tape them so people can buy the tapes.
Right.
And then I put them on YouTube.
Yes.
And people started telling me, oh, Bert, give us more. Now I have over 700 and something.
Yikes.
So that's the only way that I promote myself. And I'm always active But I've never really done anything. I'm a very easygoing, laid back person.
Yes.
You know, I'm not lazy, but I love to relax. I love meditation.
Right.
And things are always happening where people ask me to do this or to do that, appear here or go there.
Yes.
So, but it all happens by itself.
Yes.
I don't do anything.
I love that. I love that. Your site is it's BertHarding.com, right?
To find your website. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. And then your YouTube, all they have to do is type in your name and they'll find your YouTube channel.
Yeah, on Google, you just go on Google and put Bert Harding and then it gives you a list of
everything.
Yeah.
I'm actually pretty much the same way with that you're doing. I'm just starting. I've been doing the show now for 3.5 years and now I'm just starting to do some public speaking where people have asked me to come and speak. So I'm just following it. And I've also, my audience have asked me to write a book. Now for 2 years, my listeners have been asking me to write a book.
Yeah, I think it would be wonderful to do so because you come from spirit so much. You're full of enthusiasm and energy, which is God-given, of course.
Yes.
Yeah, and when you're like that, you it's contagious, you see?
Yes.
People look at you and they feel what you're saying is in their own heart. Yeah.
Yes. Well, thank you. This has been so wonderful. And I truly, in March, I really want to get to Victoria because I would love to meet you in person. And that just we stay in touch by email and hopefully I can get to Victoria. And I will I don't know when, but I will get to Victoria one of these days.
It would be lovely to meet you in person. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
I'll take you out to lunch if you come to Vancouver.
Love it. I would love it. Yes.
I don't travel much because I have peripheral vision impairment. But
okay, that's okay.
These are not prescription glasses. These are preventive. When I watch computer, work on the computer to protect my eye. Yeah.
Yes, I understand. Well, I actually am starting to travel a lot. And I believe that's in my future where I'm supposed to be traveling. So I know Vancouver and Victoria is on my radar. I'll be there.
Wonderful. Yes.
Well, thank you so much. This has been so wonderful. This has been amazing, amazing hour with you. And so, so wonderful to get to.
Oh, it's been an hour, eh? I thought it went so fast.
Yeah. Well, you know why? You know why it went so fast?
Because you're listening to you.
Well, no, you too. It's both because we're in the now and we're sharing from our heart. When you're in the now and sharing from your heart, the time just flies.
Just flies.
But it's been a wonderful, wonderful time. And I know, and this will air at a later date, but I'll send you everything so you can share on your YouTube channel.
Okay, yes, please. Yeah, because when you send it to me, I'll put it on YouTube.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I have quite a few subscribers. So
awesome.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
This has been
so wonderful. And I've had such a wonderful time with you. And we will see
me
each other
too.
Again. Sure.
Okay.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.